The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and his mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that came down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Elijah gets in a competition with 450 prophets of Baal, the pagan god. They have a competition. Okay, you build your altar and we'll slaughter an ox on it, and I'll slaughter an ox on mine. And whoever calls down fire from heaven, that's who's the real God. That's whose God is real. And the 450 prophets do that, and they slaughter the ox, and they're chanting and shouting and slashing themselves and whipping themselves up into a fury, and nothing happens. Elijah does it. And with just one prayer, fire comes streaming down from heaven, consumes the altar and even the rocks and all the water he had poured on it. And God showed himself for who he was. And so did Elijah. So then he said, "Round up those 450 prophets and let's take them down to the river." And he took them down there and he slit all their throats. Sorry, this is like PG-13, I guess, but that's what he did. That we're not encouraging that behavior right now. We're just saying that that's what the way the story went. And then the queen, Jezebel, says, "Okay, I've had enough of you. You just killed all my prophets. You just proved my God wrong. I'm coming for you. I'm going to take your life. And if I don't do by this time tomorrow what you did to them, so help me God," or "so help me Baal," or whatever she would say. And all of a sudden, the man who just called down fire from heaven, slit the throats of 450 prophets, gets afraid. And he runs. He's terrified. He's running for his life. It's like, what the heck? Do what? Just do that again. Just call down the fire. But it's as if God needs him to remember who is really the one that sent the fire, and who is really the one who conquered these false prophets who were leading people astray. It wasn't Elijah. It was God himself. And Elijah, the man, has really almost nothing to offer, nothing to defend himself, protect himself. And God allows Elijah to experience that, and he knows, "I got to get out of here." So Elijah goes, and he even leaves his servant behind, so it's just himself, and he's out in the wilderness, and he's been going for days, and he collapses, utterly spent, under a broom tree. And there he turns his heart to the Lord and says, "Take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. I'm no different than anybody else. I'm exhausted. I can't do this anymore. I can't fight off the evil that's out there. And and just take my life now. So he collapses, he passes out. And this is where we are in the reading, the first reading. Then an angel appears, wakes him up, and says, get up, eat. And there is this large piece of bread there, loaf of hearth cake, and a jug of water. So he eats and drinks, but he passes out again. And the angel wakes him up a second time. Get up, eat, else the journey will be too long for you. You're not done. So he eats the bread that the angel from heaven brought him. Take note. And he drank, and he was strengthened. And then he goes for 40 days and 40 nights through the wilderness till he finally arrives to Mount Horeb. That's Mount Sinai, the same place where Moses went up and received the Ten Commandments, where the Israelites saw all the miracles of God on the mountain. And there he sees God and speaks with God. That's for another time, another reading. That's what happens next. But this bread that comes down from heaven to strengthen him for 40 days, 40 nights, some to do something and go a distance that separated him from God. He needed that bread. He wasn't going to make it. He needed the assistance of the angel and the bread to make it that way. This is miraculous bread. This isn't just Dave's killer bread. This is like even better still. That's my favorite brand, by the way. In The Lord of the Rings, those of you who are Tolkien fans, the hobbits eat bread that the elves make that gives them energy to keep going far beyond what any kind of normal, just a little bit would take them a long, long way. Tolkien was lifting it from here. And the reference to the Eucharist. So when Jesus comes along and starts talking about this bread, angelic bread, bread from heaven that comes down and nourishes, and what he says isn't just take this because you have a long walk to go, 40 days and 40 nights. He is saying that this bread isn't going to just help you make it to the end of this life. He's saying this life, eat this bread and you will live forever. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. That bread helped them. It was bread from God. But this bread comes down from heaven so that one may eat it and not die. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. The bread I give is my flesh for the world. Now we know that if we eat the bread from heaven, we're still going to die. There's a lot of evidence for that. Daily. But what is he talking about here? Because there is still a journey for us to make that is not just for our body to live, it's for our soul. Because there is a journey our soul needs to go on, and our soul needs to go for 40 days and 40 nights. And yes, it's going to be separated from this body in order to go up the mountain of God and be with him there. And there's a lot of distance between us and God. That's 40 days, 40 nights. That's a long way. And what is that distance right now between our soul and God? Well, St. Paul is talking about it. We're called for redemption. We need redemption. We're sealed for that. But there's bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, reveling must be removed from you along with all malice. And be kind to one another, compassionate. That's distance between us and God. Moral distance, spiritual distance. And it's a long way. And we look at ourselves and say, I can't do this. I got too much resentment in my heart. I can't cover that distance. I'm not going to make it. Lord, just take me now. Let me just collapse under this broom tree. Then the angel wakes us up and says, get up, eat. And the bread is there, baked on a rock. That's what a hearth cake is. It's bread baked on a hot stone, really hot stone. And we consume that, and then we collapse again, and the angel wakes us up again and says, get up and eat, because the journey is too long for you. You won't, unless you eat, you're not gonna make it. So we get up and eat again and again. And that's what gives us the strength, the energy to go 40 days and 40 nights so that our soul can make it up the mountain of God. Now, our body will get there too, but not right away. That's gonna take a little bit of time. But every time we come in here into Mass, we're before this bread from heaven, the bread that the angel gave to Elijah, although that was not sacramental, as miraculous as that was. That was just for his body. That was like the manna in the desert. It's miraculous, but it's not what the Lord is going to give us in himself, his flesh, his blood. That's the bread that brings you to eternal life. We've been spending this whole month we're spending on John chapter 6 as he's continuing through to explaining this is what the Eucharist is. It's not symbolic. It's not something where we should just kind of deconstruct and say, yeah, well, it's kind of like a symbol and it's a way for us to pray and it's a way to think about God and it's an image of those things. It's like, no, that's not what Jesus himself insisted on, even when I was saying, hold on a second, okay, explain yourself well, because I think you're using symbolic language here. And he doubles down. He doesn't say, oh yeah, you're right. It's just a symbol, but that's not what he's saying. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, you will not have life in you. But whoever eats this bread will live forever. Now we know we need to prepare ourselves to receive this worthily in an adequate state. I mean, we're never worthy, but if we're aware of living in some way that's diametrically opposed or through some sin that we've fallen, that we go to confession first, you guys know this, in order to prepare ourselves to reconcile with God before we receive him into our hearts. We shouldn't force him in there when we haven't cleaned it up. That's not a very hospitable thing to do. But as we do this, we're receiving exactly what our soul needs for this great journey now. And so as we come across our own great frustrations, this distance in our heart and the resentments and the bitterness and the weaknesses, this is what's going to get us there. Keep at it. That's what the Eucharist does. It strengthens, it heals, it nourishes. We are on a long journey and we will get there if we nourish ourselves with the very bread and the very body of our Lord.